but it's been a good season. I've had a great time. So I'm not having it.
Not having
write it. As many statements as you want, you f***ing bottled it. Fire sale. Everything's on offer. 50% off. Take what you want.
I stand by that. He hasn't delivered this season.
If he doesn't
so
deliver next
season...
There is no two ways about it.
I'm not a Mikel Outer, but at the end of next season, if we're trophyless...
There are more men get behind that high line than... Bonnie Blue.
Come on.
Premier League's over, mate.
Premier League season's over. Is the Board Your Podcast over?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode 133. Premier League's over, mate.
Premier League season's over. Is the Board Draw Podcast over?
Board Draw Podcast.
Nah,
is
maybe. I don't know.
Not over quite yet.
I know.
Come soon.
Put a pin in that.
Premier League's over, man. I don't know. What are we going to do?
It's three seasons in a row now that we've done the podcast. Three seasons in a row, Arsenal finished second. We cannot keep doing this. I cannot keep doing this.
That's rough.
So, we're going to go through the 24-25 Premier League season. Talk about every team. Have they had a good season, bad season? We'll be the judge of that.
We are going to be the judge of that.
And we'll start...
Rock bottom.
Yeah, bottom up.
With probably one of the worst ever Premier League sides, Southampton.
At least they didn't break Derby's record.
Just.
But...
Is that thanks to Man City?
A new record that they did break. The first team ever... I've got lots of stats. I'm on the stats. They're the first team ever to lose 30 games in a Premier League season.
That's nuts.
30 losses, 2 wins, 6 draws.
12 points from 8 games.
Wallahi, 30 losses is
I mean,
mental.
12 points from 38 games is nuts. That's nuts.
Southampton fans.
That's a point every other game.
Did you expect it to be that bad? I can't even remember. Who was their manager at the start of the season?
Russell Martin.
And then...
Then it went to... I can't remember what his name is.
Ivo Juric.
Yeah.
I thought there was someone in between them two, but maybe there wasn't. And then... And now... Will Still was in the crowd for the Arsenal Southampton game. Will Still in the Championship. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he highly rated? Was it just
he was highly rated because of the FM thing.
Yeah.
I think he done well. Was it at Reims? I don't know. It's always a different test when you come to England. The Championship's a hard league. His coaching staff are like just his brothers.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Shout out family business.
Will, Bill and Phil, still. No. I don't know, it's just been that was a horrendous season. I think fans of the Saints will be happy that they are marching on back down to the Championship where they could potentially have a good season. I mean, their squad had good players, but it was so soft.
Yeah.
And once they didn't hit the ground running and that Russell Martin style of football, they were just getting bashed in, week out. It killed the confidence. I mean, they've got good players though. You know, Ramsdale, he's obviously a decent keeper. Horrendous record when it comes to relegations.
Still bad.
Taylor Hargreaves-Bellis,
yeah.
Fantastic centre back. Tyler Dibbling, phenomenal player.
Phenomenal.
So they have good players across the pitch. Is it Fernandez in the midfield?
Is it Alcaraz?
I can't remember what his name is, but I was quite impressed with him.
They got Kamaldine Sulemana, who I quite like. But yeah, I think Mateus Fernandez, a little bit soft. And yeah, like you said, I feel like they spent too much of the season backing that Russell Martin style of play. And then eventually they sacked him. Either keep him and let that style of play work again in the champ, or... sack him earlier in the season and maybe try and stay up and get Spurs relegated. But crikey, they just were like dithering about the decision for too long, and then it was a losing battle.
The next two teams we'll talk about, Leicester and Ipswich, they were fairly poor, but Southampton were on another fucking plane. I mean, it was ridiculous. You're talking, they finished 10 points behind Ipswich. How the fuck did you do that in the Premier League?
That is mental.
And 13 points behind Leicester. So, and both those teams were heading like fucking so far adrift of even 17th place is mental.
Let's talk about Ipswich.
It's got to be one of the worst Premier League seasons ever.
Oh, yeah, Southampton, worst season ever. Ipswich. In my lifetime.
Ipswich. It could have been different.
Mm.
They came and they stuck by, what's his name?
Kieran
McKenna, after some interest from Man United. And yet, just another one of those where clearly it's a championship squad that's probably overachieved.
Mm.
I mean, back-to-backing it from League One to the Premier League is pretty nuts.
Mm.
But they did it. And the players that they have, I think, they have elements of a good squad, but not quite the total thing, I guess. Obviously, star players, you're looking at...
Liam Delap.
Amari Hutchinson, who had some good performances early on the season and then started to fade a little bit. I think probably the size of the task at hand was quite a lot for a lot those players to bear.
Yeah, I just don't think they're a Premier League squad, so I'm not surprised that they're going straight back down.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, apart from maybe Liam Delap, none of them are like Premier League regulars.
No, I would agree with that. They obviously brought in Jack Clark, Calvin Phillips on loan as well.
Stank.
I mean,
a lot of these players are just like good champ players, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a lot now where you sign like an exciting winger in the championship, someone like Jack Clark. Obviously, Brighton has signed Watson, who scored the winner for Sunderland in the playoff final. But these players who are really good technically, but maybe not quite ready for the physicality and pace of the Premier League.
Jadon Philogene.
Another one. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you.
I don't know. It's a bit underwhelming maybe, I guess, but they gave it a shot and I don't think anyone really
had it. It's a bit of experience for the boys. They'll probably get a decent chunk of change for Liam Delap in the summer as well, which will sort them out.
Smart piece of business. And so, that accompanied by some parachute payments, sticking by Kieran McKenna, who's obviously a good manager.
Yeah.
Some players of Premier League experience still probably sticking around. I can't see their squad getting torn apart.
No, apart from Liam Delap, I can't really see anybody really going.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them up there challenging the championship for a automatic or a playoff place at least.
Which he'll take, yeah. I'd say bad season, optimistic future. Which can't be said for Leicester City, because that looks like bad season and nightmarish future.
Nightmarish future, yeah.
Talk to me about Leicester City. Started the season with Stevie Coates.
So, obviously, went up, lost their manager. Not great. Lost one of their best players in Dewsbury Hall.
Mm.
And then it was sort of a bit like, what's going to happen next? Brought in Steve Cooper, who...
I didn't hate the appointment.
I thought he was doing all right.
Yeah, I thought he could have been okay.
At the point they sacked him, they were like 16th, 15th in the league.
Yeah.
Mate, you're Leicester City. What do you want?
It's just so hard to balance. I think Leicester City have had that taste of success. Premier League, FA Cup, European football. And now that they're kind of... Maybe that was...
That's why the stadium's half empty.
The glory days. And now they're kind of returning to an equilibrium. I think the owners are kind of struggling to come to terms with what's the
norm. Well, how do you manage finances where suddenly you've got... You're trying to compete in the Champions League. You're trying to compete at the top of the Premier League. You lose all your best players. Then you have to replace them. And then suddenly, a couple of seasons later, you've won an FA Cup, but you're getting relegated. Like, it's... That recovery, isn't it? And, you know, one of the players that's been there throughout all of that, Jamie Vardy.
Jeez.
Now he's left. It says a lot when you're probably your best player of the season is a man who's 38, drinks 14 cans of Red Bull a day and smokes more cigarettes.
500 games, 200 goals though. Premier League legend.
Top man.
What guy. Top man. But yeah, going into the future, back down to the Championship. A lot of looming FFP problems with Leicester.
Financials are in tatters. I don't see how they keep hold of... I mean, there's no one in that squad I'd fucking want.
No, I was just trying to go through that.
Tarwu's all right, yeah. But he's injury prone. I think, like, Harry Winks.
Stinks. Skip. Stinks. Yes. It is.
I mean, it's good for Championship.
Players. Yeah.
But... I don't
Who's
know.
That? They've got an all right goalkeeper, that Hermansson.
Hermansson was good. That's very
But yeah,
true.
Terrible team, terrible season. And Ruud van Nistelrooy. Don't know if he's a guy.
He's on his way out. Yeah. Apparently, they're getting in Russell Martin. So, I don't see how it gets better from here. They've lost a lot of goals in that main man up top.
Yeah.
And yeah, it could be a worrying future for them.
Maybe
and
it's like, the end of an era. Maybe it's just a
when they
start
when they sacked. If they had kept with Steve Cooper, I truly believe that they might have had a chance.
Yeah, I'll back that.
Because they were nicking points here and there. But the performances under Ruud van Nistelrooy were worse.
Yeah, and Steve Cooper's just all-round better manager.
The best performance under Ruud van Nistelrooy was probably worse than one of the worst performances under Steve Cooper.
Steve Cooper's just definitely a better all-round manager than Van Nistelrooy. So
he's kept Forest up for like two seasons.
Seems like a bad decision that's spiralled into a terrible season. But yeah, those are the three relegated teams, Southampton, Ipswich and Leicester. Now it's time to talk about probably one of the storyline teams of the season. 17th place, hounding out their manager, their Aussie manager, their fucking boy manager. He came, he said, I don't always win in my second season. I definitely win. Oh, some shit, I don't know.
He wins trophies in his second season.
We're talking about Spurs. They finished 17th, but wallahi, my nightmare came true. They have won European football. They've won the Europa League against Man United, ended a 17-year trophy drought. Where do we start on this, Jekyll and Hyde of a season?
It was a season where they were plagued with injuries, right? But so were a lot of other teams. Mm. Finishing 17th, no matter if you won a European trophy or not, is fucking nuts.
22 losses, the most ever from a non-relegated side. Which says that in any other season, that gets them relegated.
They're fortunate that the three relegated teams were so poor this year.
Yeah.
Maybe Ange just got found out.
Yeah.
Because that high line,
every game,
fucking,
it was just a certy loss then in the Prem.
There were more men get behind that high line than Bonnie Blue.
Come on.
It was mental.
But Spurs fans will think, start of the season, if you offered us Champions League football and we win a European trophy, I don't give a fuck where we finish in the league.
As long as you don't get relegated.
And that's what he's delivered. He
said
that.
He has delivered on the baseline given. Yeah. But you have to sometimes look at the bigger picture.
Scratch a little bit beneath the surface.
Horrendous season.
Honking season.
It's literally like, you can't, what can you say? They've got Champions League football now.
It's true. I think it was post-match, last game season, they lost to Brighton, another loss. And the post-match reporter was like, Ange, can you tell me what your like overriding feelings of this season are? And he goes, I think it was a bloody amazing season. If you asked a Spurs fan at the start of the season, Champions League football and a trophy, they would have bit your hand off.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Do you reckon he just has a weird way of looking at football where he doesn't look at it like... he's just looking at the end, that result, not about the journey.
And it is always about the journey.
For me, he's got to just fucking walk.
Well, there's rumours that he's leaving. I don't know. Like, surely it's mental to get rid of him. But then also, 22 losses.
Nah,
how
this
do you
is
keep the
time.
Job?
Because next season, when you're out of all the competitions by Christmas and you're sat 16th in the league, you're going to be wishing you got rid of him in the summer.
It's true. Spurs fans, let us know in the comments down below.
Unless they go out and have a fucking mental summer,
how do you
not
rate
getting
this season?
Better.
This season, like, I can't even... obviously, not a Spurs fan, but I just can't really... I think, God forbid I was a Spurs fan, I'd be on cloud nine.
Because it's almost funny at this point, isn't
it? It is. I think it's the funniness. You probably have fans coming at you being like, oh, but you 22 losses. I would just be like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But here I am saying 22 losses stinks. It does stink.
Not as bad as the team that finished above them by one place.
We're talking Wolves, not Man United.
Oh, yeah, Man United.
We'll come to Man United after. But up next is Wolves. We won't dwell on them too long. 16th.
Sat Gary O'Neill,
who we like. They got Vitor Pereira in. But since his first game, they're joint 10th in the form table. So,
yeah, no.
Don't mind him.
And they've had, you know, issues with their fucking behaviour.
They have.
And the main source of that, Mr. Mateus Cunha, looks like he's on the way.
Yeah,
out.
he's moving up one place in the league.
It is... it was a rough start to the season, but I also think they had the hardest running to begin with.
They did, yeah.
So, yeah, I think they have some issues like Nelson Semedo as well. I can't remember. And yeah, it's just been, it was a rough season to begin with.
And then they
made a decision, a big decision to get rid of Gary O'Neill. I believe he would have kept them up anyway. But they went with Vitor Pereira and it seems to pay dividends. And I think going into next season, there's a lot more positivity than there was this time at Christmas.
Get 60 mil for Cunha.
Reinvest it. Stan Larsson looks like he's starting to
come good. Yep.
So yeah, and there's, you know, there's things to be excited about.
Yeah.
And they almost, when, you know, it's starting to hit that trough again, Wolves always do seem to find a way. I mean, solid Premier League outfit now for...
Yeah. Joint 10th in the form table since Pereira, so...
Yeah.
Decent little side. But yeah, we'll move on to Man United, who, like Spurs, big six side, sitting down in 15th.
How many points? 40 points.
Yeah, get the whole thing up. All I can tell you is 18 losses. That's all I've got here.
42 points.
Okay, so, oh yeah, because they 3 points on the last day, got them over that magical 40. But yeah, 18 losses this season. And unlike Spurs, no trophy to kind of cover up all the...
Nothing.
The madness.
Absolutely nothing. I mean...
And now they're out in Malaysia, and they've lost to Asian All-Stars today.
It's... I am speechless because...
It is mental.
For me, Ruben Amorim is that guy. He was the guy who was meant to come in and fix everything. He hasn't really had a transfer window.
No. And I think that's, for me, why he shouldn't get the sack just yet.
He's clearly a good manager. But then I'm watching the fucking Europa League final and I'm questioning it.
That Europa League final, good God, Spurs were lucky to come up against Man United because any other competent side...
would have fucking put the sword to him.
Yeah, but Man United are just a little bit less competent than Spurs.
It's... I have no words.
Yeah, terrible season.
I have no words. I mean, it can't get worse.
It actually can't. It's their worst ever. They've got so much dross. We do... I think it's probably like monthly we do a keep or sell for Man United. So we're not going
to
do another one.
But
genuinely, just get everyone out of there. They're talking about losing Bruno Fernandes, which I think is mental because he's the only player that's competent.
He's the only player I would keep.
And they're going to send him to Saudi. So I don't
know
what's going on.
You get 100 million for him. Fair play to him. Go get the bags on.
For him, get yourself out of there. But what is there to show that Man United are going to reinvest that 100 mil properly?
Nothing.
Exactly. So I'd keep him. Because, Christ alive, there's no point in getting money in for any player.
At the minute, they're funding their transfer window by just sacking everyone.
Yeah. It's mental stuff. They are so bad.
The club is rotting from the inside out.
They've got players like Jadon Sancho is going to be there again in the summer. I think Garnacho...
Rashford's going to be back there.
Rashford will be back there. Garnacho's had a falling out with Amorim. So, they're going to have to look to ship him out. I don't know what's going on.
We're clear house, fire sale, everything's on offer, 50% off, take what you want, and I'll just play the fucking youth team.
Yeah, because they do have good youth players.
I mean, how bad can Man United's academy be? And honestly, play the youth team, see how they look, and then get a couple of, you know, big boy signings in there and just hope it works. Hope it sticks.
They need a big summer. A big summer of... What I think they need is Premier League proven players. I know they're looking at Mbomo. I know they're looking at Cunha. For me, those would be two very good signings.
I would start ripping Brentford apart.
Mate, they're two very good signings.
Get Yanel and like Damsgaard, Rissa. Yeah. Mate, just go rip Brentford apart. Go rip... I don't know. Who else could they get from like...
Crystal Palace. Go there.
Yeah, go get Gay.
Yeah, go just, get some of their boys.
Mate, honestly, and just start tearing the...
Do old Man United. Old Man United just used to go to Premier League teams and just get their best players. Do it again.
But the thing is, if they weaken teams around them, it's less likely they get relegated.
Exactly, it's facts. Get us in if you...
Yeah.
If you
Ratcliffe.
Christ. Right, anyway, Man United, stinky season, 15th.
I think, honestly, that's worst season in Southampton.
Let us know in the comments down below. I probably agree, because... economies of scale and that. But West Ham, 14th place. I have zero notes because I'm just so impartial. They got Graham Potter in about halfway through.
They had an exciting transfer window.
Very exciting transfer window. Everyone was like, oh, David Moyes obviously won them the Conference League a couple of seasons ago and they reinvested. people thinking, oh, the push onwards is there.
Yeah, has exciting players, the likes of Paqueta.
Kudus.
Bowen.
Yeah.
I mean, Wan-Bissaka was a good signing. Mm. He probably one of their better players this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Collins as well. You know,
not Collins, what's his name?
Kilman.
Kilman,
sorry. Fulkrug as well, who just off the back of a decent season.
Off the back of a Champions League final.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it just kind of stank, didn't it?
Didn't go well, didn't go to plan. And they got rid of David Moyes, who we will talk about him and his club, who finished just above West Ham, which is funny. But yeah, West Ham got Graham Potter in. Didn't really hit the ground running under Graham Potter either.
Yeah. I
think it's a little bit meaty season.
See, that's another club Man United needs to target. Just fucking go out and get Bowen.
Bowen. It's mental that he's been at West Ham for as long as he has, because he is genuinely Champions League quality player.
Yeah, I think so. Like, honestly, behind Saka and Salah, maybe third best right wing in the league.
Probably, yeah.
They're number, but I mean, they just sold Wan-Bissaka to West Ham. They could probably do him back.
I don't know. West Ham, I think, just...
It's an underwhelming season.
Maybe back Graham Potter, because I think he is a decent manager.
Yeah.
Is he? Maybe I'm just saying that.
I think West Ham was stuck in a little bit of a transition period. They've got the players there that had won them the...
Is Graham Potter a good manager, or are we just falling for
the Brighton
effect, where it's like, is De Zerbi a good manager, or is Brighton just a well-run club? Is Hertzler a good manager, or is Brighton just a really well-run club?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a video that we'll talk about. But yeah, maybe they're all just managers that are getting the bounce off Brighton for being a really well-run club.
Yeah. No, potentially. I mean, I think it's a very underwhelming season for West Ham, but I think they're caught in a little bit of a transition period. I think you're going to see... I mean, you're looking at the likes of Kufal, Cresswell already leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
Suchek's gone as well. Suchek as well.
Might be too far behind them. So, yeah, there'll be a few men leaving. And I think what they need to look to do is start introducing some of their young players again. It's a bit of an ageing squad.
Yeah.
There's exciting players within it, but bring some of the youth back in. And then they'll be fine. They'll be fine next season. I mean, I look at the teams that are coming up. And I could see Sheffield United struggling again. Sorry, not Sheffield United. Sunderland struggling. I could see
Leeds and Burnley
struggling. Leeds may be the only one who I can see if they throw some investment and actually doing all right.
Yeah.
So I think West Ham will be pretty fine next season. They've got a bad poor season.
But just above West Ham, in 13th, we've got Everton, who, as mentioned, not a great start to the season. Actually, a terrible start to the season where they had... FFP problems, managerial problems, blah, blah.
Stadium was flooded.
Stadium problems. Flooded. All a mess flooded at the start of the season. But then they got in one and only David Moyes, who returned to his first love, I'd say.
He just gets points, doesn't he?
He is a points man for sure, because since their first win under David Moyes in January, only three sides have won more points than Everton. Man City, Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah, that's nuts. And they don't really play like great football. They don't really have like any like star players apart from maybe the likes of like Pickford, Branthwaite, maybe Doucouré, who's gone.
That's a centre back partnership right there. Branthwaite and Gaye. Why don't Man United just make that happen?
Easy, mate.
That's money. That's probably 100 mil.
Yeah, 120 mil maybe.
Just do it. That's a partnership for the ages. But Everton, really good. Optimistic for next season, I'd say.
Yeah. Going to their new stadium.
Yeah.
They stay very clear of relegation, even though it's probably, I would say, looming based on the trend of the last couple of seasons. But they did all right. And David Moyes, he gets you results, even if you're not like...
He's a savvy manager.
Smash and grab. He just knows how to grind up results. And sometimes you go and blow team away, like they did in the final day. So
100%.
All I was giving it a good assumption.
Just above them, maybe our... kind of second team for this season. Crystal Palace. I'm not even going to talk about their Premier League season where they finished 12th.
Well, because we can.
Yeah, 12th's all right.
I mean,
12th is where they finish
every
year.
That is where they finish every season. They started the season and it was like Glasner out?
Yeah.
Maybe Glasner out.
Believe.
Lost to Lise.
In the Glasner.
I think Eze had a rough start with injury and whatever.
Tony Wharton as well.
Wharton wasn't there. I think even Mateta wasn't even there. So it was a rough start. I think they had about a 10-game winless run.
Mm.
Second half of the season, miles better. Miles better. Everyone started finding their form. He started playing some really good football. Munoz has been brilliant. I mean, they started finding a backline partnership after losing Anderson. Gehi, Richards and Lacroix doing quite well. So it was a positive end to the season in terms of Premier League. Doesn't really get much better, though, than winning the bloody FA Cup.
Their first ever major trophy. And these two fuckheads were there to witness it. Video coming soon. Yeah, I mean, Crystal Palace fans can't really ask for anything else, can they, really? First major
but they
trophy ever.
Deserve it.
What a performance against Man City.
European football next season.
What a season.
For the Eagles.
It's huge. It is bloody huge. We love that for Palace. Great Premier League side. Very established. Like we say, they finish 12 every season. So,
yeah, and
can't complain.
It's going to give them the opportunity to probably get in some more depth. They already have a good, exciting squad.
Yeah.
Gives them probably a little bit more chance of keeping players like Mateta, like Eze, like Gueye. But we'll see. We'll see, because I think a few of those guys could definitely be in the Champions League next season.
But up the Eagles.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Up the boom, boom, boom. Mateta's in the room.
I mean, up arguably a better season than seventh place in Nottingham Forest.
Arguably better season than second place in Arsenal.
Like the last of the Champions League.
Yeah, I suppose. Right, last team in the bottom half of the Premier League. Again, no notes on this one. 11th place, Fulham.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
Next.
I don't know. I mean, I have nothing to say. I'm just... It's another solid season.
It's all right. Yeah, some teams, I think, can't get too greedy.
Yeah.
Have you seen that guy that's like, how greedy... Some teams can't get too greedy. Like Fulham, a couple of seasons ago, relegation side.
Yeah.
So another...
Well, they were like...
Yo-yo club.
Yo-yo club. Now they're cemented Premier League.
That's what I'm saying. Don't get too greedy. Marco Silva's a good manager.
There's rumours of Saudi again.
Ish. But,
so you can only avoid Saudi money for so long.
Come on.
So I'd be just happy that he's sticking around.
11th place is good. Just keep churning those seasons out, keep getting that Premier League investment, getting those Premier League players in, because eventually that squad will fill out and it'll be all Premier League level players, whereas like if you're a bit of a yo-yo and then stabilise, you've still got some champ level players. Start weaning those out and get a full squad of Premier League players, and then you start moving up.
They sort of every season lost a big name. Mitrovic the year before, Palinha this season. So they do well to sort of not falter.
Yeah, 100%. They've got players that are stepping up. Great season.
I just don't really see any superstar players in this Fulham team at the minute. No. Maybe Anthony Robinson.
Maybe, but he had a bit of a dip at the end of the season.
Yeah, really fantastic start to the season. And then, yeah, did it falter a bit towards the end. But
yeah, good side, 11th place. Right, top half. Brentford. Their second ever top 10 finish in the Premier League.
Mm.
Another quality season from them. 20 goals from Brian and Bomo, who we mentioned earlier.
Fucking mental. 19 from Vissa or something like that?
19 or something like that from Vissa. And then I think, who is it? Sharda as well.
Sharda came on hard at the end of the
three
season.
Three teams. I don't know if this was a stat about 3 weeks ago, so it might not be still a stat. But there was only three teams in European's top five leagues to have three players with double-digit goals. Can you name those three teams?
Double digit goals. PSG?
Yep. I couldn't name your place. Barcelona, yep.
And
Brentford.
Brentford.
With Sharda and Bomo. So it's quality stuff.
Mm.
Brentford, really good side. We said Thomas Frank's a quality manager.
Yeah, he is.
Talk to me about Brentford.
Yeah, I think it's progress. It's stabilisation. They lost Ivan Toney, who was their bagsman.
Mm.
I mean, he was only there for half the season before, but still a big name to lose. I think it's a solid season. However,
he got called up into Thomas Tuchel's England squad.
Just why?
I literally haven't seen what he's doing in Saudi.
He's doing right in Saudi. I think he's got like 20 goals in 26 games or something.
I genuinely no clue.
But like, I just don't give a shit, man.
Yeah.
If you go Saudi, your career is over for me. I don't care.
I back it.
But yeah, Brentford. I would just be concerned that perhaps now they need to look at doing some heavy investment
to move
forward. Mm. And I think there's going to be a lot of people sniffing around Mr. Brian Mbeumo.
I think that he could have a scary summer.
And a very scary time for Johan Visser and Thomas Frank.
I was just about to say, because they could feasibly... I mean, they're a well-run club, so you'd assume they probably won't let that happen. But there is a situation where they could lose.
Let's not forget...
They're two top goal scorers.
Who they are. They are Brentford.
Just a bus stop. But, yeah, I don't know. It could be a scary summer, but who knows? Yeah, like you said, I think, for me, I said it at the start of last season, the start of this season, just gone. Spurs should get Thomas Frank in.
Let's just hope, for the sake of football, that this tin pot establishment does leave the Premier League next season.
You're talking about Spurs?
I'm referring to the bus stop.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, no, Brentford, great season, top half. And yeah, Bomo, 20 league goals. What a player he is. Oh, maybe he's the third best. Oh, that's one for the comments. Who would you rather?
Bowen or Brian? Mbeumo.
I saw an edit where they gave Mbeumo a nice hairline. Oh. And they were like, if this is what he looked like, he'd be 120 mil. But yeah, maybe I'll put that out on Twitter.
This is the conversation we have like every year where we're like, how the fuck is he like not 34?
Yeah, he's genuinely only like 25.
Yeah, he's class.
But yeah, Bowen or Mbeumo? Let us know. That's a quality one. Next, ninth place, we've got Bournemouth.
Yeah.
I've got some stats here for you. 8 more points than their best ever season. And that best ever season was the season before. So 8 more points. That is actually a bit of a jump.
Yeah.
But did they have a little drop off towards the end of the season? Because they were
It was a little bit mixed.
Europe spots.
Going back to the start of the season, lost Solanke, their bagsman from last year, replaced him with Evan Nilsson. And I was a bit like, doesn't really score many goals.
Didn't mind him.
But we've seen what he does.
Didn't mind him.
And then everyone was popping up with goals. Probably none more than one Antoine Semenyo.
Another great right winger, actually.
Fantastic player.
Probably not in the Mbeumo Bowen conversation, but he's in
you there. Had players like Zabanyi, Huijsen, Kerkez, all stepping up. That defensive line was fantastic.
Bloody Kepa Arrizabalaga.
Yeah.
Who I thought was the most washed keeper to ever set foot in the Premier
fantastic.
League.
Fantastic.
Really good.
They've got an exciting squad. Clive, Scott, who else have they got in there?
Tavernier
as well. Is it Cook?
Yeah. Cook and... Christie.
Christie,
what a player he is.
Yeah, fantastic. And I do believe it is only up from here for them.
And Donny Ariola, very good manager.
Yeah, I can't... Obviously, they're going to lose... Huijsen's going to Real Madrid. Mm. Kerkez looks like he's on his way out, maybe to Liverpool.
I think so.
But they seem to be able to replace.
Yeah.
And I think the main part here is if you can keep Ariola, you will do well.
Yeah, true that.
And I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, you brought up a stat about them winning the ball back in the final third more than any other team. And I think that is... a play style that doesn't rely so much on personnel, but the setup. So if they do lose personnel,
that's a great point.
I do believe the system will survive.
I do believe.
Whether or not they continue on this point-gaining trend and finish 8 points higher next season, I don't really know.
You'll take it, though. 9th, 8 more points than their best ever season. Like you said, some standout seasons. Huijsen, Kerkez, really good.
I would like to see what their stats are, their points... total is against the bottom three this season, because I doubt it will be as high as next season.
Let us know.
As high again next season.
Right, moving up a place again. 8th place to Brighton and Hove Albion. I mentioned this stat, I think, earlier, but I'll say it again. Only one less point than their highest point total ever under De Zerbi when they finished 6th a couple of seasons ago. So, really good season.
Yeah, really good season. I mean, another one coming in, pointing Fabian Hürzeler.
Didn't know much about him. Youngest manager ever in the Premier League. Yeah. He's got dons in his squad. They're older than him.
I'm trying to think, like, who did they lose this summer?
So when was Caicedo?
This summer?
Yeah, Caicedo was this. No, summer before. Yeah, summer before. What was it? I don't know. It's all kind of blurring into one. But they've lost McAllister.
That's true.
Did they lose McAllister?
Oh my God, I actually can't remember.
No, it was McAllister this season. No.
One of them was this season.
God knows. We are a football podcast, mate. But yeah, they've lost players. I don't know. They've lost their manager, and they got Hertzler in. Bit of an unknown quantity. Luke's just checking. But
and why is this Caicedo 2023?
Yeah, because it's when we got Declan Rice, so yeah. Which is the season before, yeah. What about McAllister? Was that this season?
McAllister was 2023 as well.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe they didn't lose anyone. No, I don't know. But
you know, McAllister's half Italian.
Is he? Yeah, what guy?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... I think it's a good season. I mean, they'll be disappointed not to get Europe.
Yeah, but sometimes no Europe helps.
Yeah, I'll mainline next season. But yeah, I think it's a solid season. I mean, you can quite quickly see teams drop off. I mean, Wolves were doing it only a few seasons ago, battling for Europe, fat drop off. Everton as well, fat drop off. Mm-hmm. So you can see teams drop off hard. I think the most important thing is that they've maintained with, you know, a turnover and manager. So next season now is the opportunity to build. I don't think they really went too hard in the summer, spending a lot of money. Not even in winter either. So they probably have some fundage there. Maybe free up some funds. Maybe look to move on. Maybe Matoma, someone like that. And then, yeah, just see where you can take it. But they invest well all the time, so it should be a good one.
European spots now. Right. In seventh place, we've got Nottingham Forest.
Wow.
So I think some points here. They missed out on Champions League football on the final day with a loss against Chelsea.
They did bottle it.
Did they bottle it? Because yes. They were running third place for a lot of this season.
All I'm going to say, right.
But before you say that, I will say both of us at the start of the season had them to get relegated.
Did I?
Yeah, I had a look at our preseason predictions.
I think that's because I just decided that I couldn't go back-to-back seasons having the three promoted teams get relegated.
So both of us had them to finish in the relegation spots, and they finished seventh with European football. That's justice for Nuno Espirito Santo.
Yeah, we held our hands up. We said, fantastic. I said, enjoy the ride. I think coming out by the end of the season with European football, if anyone said that to you at the beginning of the season, you would have said you're fucking mental.
Facts. First European football in 20 years.
Mental.
Mental stuff.
I mean, it was a great ride. It's disappointing in the sense that they were so close and doing so well for the period of the season. It just goes to prove it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
But an interesting point I saw, for a team like Forest, is Conference League maybe better because, like Chelsea tonight, they might have an opportunity to just go all the way? Because you play some divvy teams in the Conference League.
They could literally have the shit season next year, win the Conference League.
Do a Spurs.
And then come out of it with a trophy and European football the following season.
Exactly that. So is the Conference League maybe a blessing in disguise, whereas Champions League, could they have just...
Obviously,
is their squad
Champions
League
is the one you want to play in.
It is.
But realistically, would you rather go in the Champions League, you know, maybe pick up 5 points in the league phase, drop out,
And then, you don't drop anywhere in Champions League anymore, so you drop straight out.
Yeah, that's it, straight out. And then, or would you rather, you know, finish in the Conference League and then just go on a run? Saw West Ham do it.
Boom, boom, boom. So, yeah, Forest fans, let us know in the comments down below.
But I think overall positive season.
Oh, yeah, overall best season they could have imagined. Two thumbs up. Can you win the Conference League next year? Let us know.
I hope so.
Right. We mentioned this team earlier when I said that they lost on the final day of the season to Manchester United. Aston Villa, sixth place. They sent a statement out to the Premier League saying that the PGOMOL
and
officiating has cost them a place in Champions League football.
Right, bad decision. Referee made a mistake. But you also lost 2-0 to Man United.
Yeah.
So, I'm not having it.
I'm also not having it.
Only did you lose 2-0, Man United were the better team.
Yeah.
Which is fucking mental.
Yeah.
So I'm not having it.
Not having
right, as many statements as you want, you fucking bottled it, right? You actually pointed out to me the other day. They were kept in the league due to a bad refereeing decision.
Yeah, that's why I'm not having it.
So, karma.
Karma comes round, baby.
It was a good season for them, I think, overall. I mean, so they get European football again. Only just missed out on Champions League football. And then, you know...
Had a good run in the Champions League this season.
Had a good run. Had a very good run.
Bit of fun.
Knocked out by PSG in the, what was it, quarterfinals?
And now they're in the, PSG in the final.
Can't fucking complain, can you? And then next season's Europa League.
Could win it.
Unai is the man.
Unai has won it four times. He is that guy.
So, but apparently they've got to sell again. Keep selling.
Well, Martinez looks like he's leaving. He did a bit of a...
I think that's a big loss, but it's not the most irreplaceable.
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like they've got probably quite a high wage bill that they need to kind of reevaluate.
Yeah, there's probably a bit of dead wood that could start to be shifted.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like time to get rid of Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, but they have no one.
Yeah, maybe they get in a bagsman.
But like, they already have a decent striker. I mean, does it get... Do they have the firepower to be able to pull someone else in?
I don't know. Unai,
Liam Delap.
Unai's got clout. Yeah. Well, Liam Delap, funny you should mention him, because in fifth place, we've got Newcastle, who look like they're very interested in Liam Delap.
They drew on the final day of the season and somehow...
No, lost to Everton.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, that's it.
But they had all the other fixtures go their way. And so they've got Champions League football again after what was a dodgy start to the season. But we'll ignore that because they've come out of this season with a League Cup win, first silverware? I don't know.
In a long time.
Like 50 years, I think it is, against Liverpool. And Champions League football.
They've ticked all the boxes.
Boom, boom, boom. Because if they didn't get Champions League football, you see the likes of Isak, Guimaraes, Canali probably looking for the exit. But Champions League football and a trophy, these guys are already legends of the club. And you'd think maybe next season, a bit more investment.
Yeah.
They could have a big season.
Talking about Alexander Isak, I think if they didn't get Champions League football, he's a certainty to leave.
Yeah.
Now, they could play a little bit hardball. Mm. It's going to have to be a good offer.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more difficult for the clubs, you know, trying to pull him in to pull him away from Newcastle, because he could play Champions League and still be the star man of the team. Whereas if he goes onwards, he might not have that star power.
I agree. I think it's a great season for Newcastle.
Yeah, 100% a great season.
Eddie Howe, hold my hands up.
We always do go hot and cold in them, because when they're in the poor period, it's like, oh, they can do better, because he's not the most attractive name in football. Yeah. But when he gets them going and they play some fucking fantastic football and they defy the odds,
they are one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, but we mustn't forget they're funded by Saudi oil money, so their achievements are cut in half.
Right, another team that's disgusting and all achievements should be null and void. Fourth place, Chelsea.
I mean, when you spend, you know, what is it, like £15 billion in three seasons, I mean, it's absolute scumbaggery of the highest degree. I'm selling your women's team to yourself for £200 million.
And then that not even being allowed to, like, clear the funds is funny. They're a fucking dodgy club.
Dodgy club.
Hate it. They've got Champions League next season, makes them think...
The biggest positive for them is that Todd Boehly has literally had his name erased from the records. No one fucking speaks about him anymore. Somehow.
Yeah.
But Maresca's done a good job, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a pretty decent start to the season.
I think, what was it? December, they were second.
Yeah, they were doing well. And then they started to drop off. I mean, Cole Palmer disappeared for the second half of the season. Where the fuck did he go?
We need to do a bit of an inquiry into Cole Palmer.
But players like Saicedo, like Lavia, like Enzo, Cucurella, all started stepping up. But there is some serious dead weight at that club. I mean, Mykhailo Mudryk is on some drug ban still.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely
what the fuck's going on with him? Nicholas Jackson, washed. He's fucked. I'm done with him. Completely done with him. Madueke, I'm not so sure on. I think there's still a bit about him, but he's not a Champions League footballer.
What's funny is Jadon Sancho's shit, but they don't commit to him, so they wash their hands of him. But they got Sterling coming back, who's a little worse version of Jane Sancho currently.
Yeah, that's
that is quite funny, but I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting this season, but by all accounts, it's probably a success for Chelsea, Champions League football.
Champions League football, I think, is key for a club like Chelsea. The way they're spending, if they're not in Champions League, I don't know how they avoid FFP, but I feel like if they didn't get Champions League, surely FFP...
You've got to catch up with them sometime.
You'd hope so. Third place, Manchester City.
I mean, fucking horrendous season.
Let me hit ya. So it's a trophyless season, which is new...
No, the Community Shield.
But, interesting stat that I saw. For the second time in 16 seasons as a manager, Pep's finished outside the top two.
That's nuts.
That is nuts.
That is fucking nuts.
So,
I mean,
that on its own. shows that it's a terrible
the
season.
The season started off rocky, right?
Mm.
And we were thinking, they look a little bit fragile here.
Yeah.
They didn't really... Actually, they did. They spend a little bit of money. Not as much...
They always spend money.
Not as much as they did in the winter when they realised it was going tits up and they brought in, was it Gonzalez?
Marmoush
and Kusunov.
Yeah. I hate them.
But they lost Rodri, derailed their entire season.
It did.
Kevin had dropped probably his worst season of all time. And he realised it was time to head on out. Phil Foden apparently had some off-field issues.
Last year's player of the season.
He's had a horrendous year.
Where's he been?
The players like Savinho, I've not been impressed with.
Grealish.
Doku, I think, is over.
Washed.
All he can do is beat people. Yeah. Nothing else.
Washed.
Grealish has lost all sentiment of what he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, Diaz, Stones, Akanji, Ake, all had injury hit seasons. They couldn't decide whether Edison or Ortega was their number one. Vardiol was probably the only consistent player throughout the season.
Yeah.
I mean, a midfield pairing of Gundogan and Kovacic in 2025 is nuts.
Mate, that's like me and Luke in centre mid.
Mental.
No legs.
No legs. Bernardo Silva. He is slowly destroying any sort of like heritage you left at that club.
Mm.
But not David Silva clear.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, it's been a bad season.
It is.
But they finished third. They got Champions League football. They go again next season and they will be back.
They will be back with money aplenty. I'm hearing
they will be back.
Florian Wirtz. I'm hearing rumours of Tijani Reinders. I'm hearing rumours of Adam Wharton. I don't know. They're always going to invest. Pep seems keen to keep playing, keep managing. So,
They'll be back and I am concerned for next season.
Yes. Right, let's talk about my boys then. Second, I started the podcast with them. Three seasons in a row, I've watched this bunch of fuckheads finish second and no trophy. But I love them all the same. I come out of every season thinking, we'll get them next time.
Yeah.
But how many times can we get them next time?
It's really hard
to
say it's time to go. To a manager who's got you finishing second into the semi-finals of a Champions League.
I know everyone was talking about, like, so Spurs get that night in Bilbao. Last year, Man United get that night at wherever the fuck they won, whatever. And everyone's saying, oh, Arsenal got that night in Madrid when they fucking won the quarterfinal. It's like, all right, funny, but we actually did fucking slap up the best team in the world. In quotation marks. But yeah, trophyless again. The first team in a quarter of a century to finish third 3 years in a row. Do you know who the
second three?
Second, 3 years in a row. Do you know who the other team was?
Liverpool.
Us.
Was it?
Yeah. But when
was
we did
2000 and like...
yeah. And when we did it, we won the league. So we did second, first. So the omens.
So what you're saying is
the omens next year.
January, the signs were clear. Go get a fucking striker, Mikel. You could win the league. Liverpool weren't that far ahead.
No player in our entire squad got double-digit goals.
That's fucking nuts.
That is embarrassing. I mean, Sacks probably would have if he wasn't injured for the half of the season.
Yeah.
But
I think...
Crikey, it's bad. We did have injuries.
Do you go into next season stronger than this season?
Yeah.
Because I'd be fucking worried that Gabriel or Saliba, one of them, is not going to be there starting beginning of next season.
That would make
Real
me so
Madrid,
sad.
Did Real Madrid go trophy-less this season?
Nah, they must have won something. I don't know. Let us know. Madristas in the comments.
Because I thought... I can't remember. Anyway, I think Real Madrid is calling for one of the... Or even Saudi. You know how them Brazilian boys just can't say no to Saudi?
They love the paper. But...
So, I would be a little bit concerned. I don't really know what's happened with Ben White.
No, but Timber, what a guy. I think we're going to the next season stronger. Mikel looks very excited for a big summer. We didn't spend any money in Jan, which makes me think, wallahi, if we're not going big this summer, what are we doing?
You know what's
going
to fucking happen? Is that, like, Liverpool will be, like, third place next season, and in Man City are going to drop a 110-point season.
Probably.
And you're going to have 101 points, and it's going to be the same old story.
That would... that would tip me over the edge. But yeah, all the links are like Gyökeres or Sesko. Just get someone in that scores
think
goals.
Was even that exciting.
I'd go for Gyökeres if you gave me the option of the two. I think Zubimendi's close to being over the line.
Mate, you're going to get fucking Vlahovic.
I think we need a winger or two. I don't know why we're letting Man United have a clear run at Mbeumo. Get him to the carpet, please. I don't know. I think there's things that need to be done this summer. But at the start of this season, just gone, I said I'll give Mikel this season and next. I stand by that. He hasn't delivered this season. So next season...
There is no two ways about it.
I'm not a Mikel outer, but at the end of next season, if we're trophyless... You won't see
next
being...
end of next season. We've seen Trent fuck off to Real Madrid after winning two Premier Leagues and the Champions League with Liverpool, a couple FA Cups or whatever, League Cups. Sacks could fuck off.
That would make me so sad. He could, but it made me so sad.
Because when you see your boys in the England squad winning things and you're there doing the most and you can't fucking win.
I was going to say, you see divvies like James Maddison winning stuff and then legends of the game like Bukayo Saka. it's so sad. But yeah, Arsenal, I'd say another season of progress. Oh, Christ, I'll touch on it. Do you see Thierry Henry went on that Stick to Football podcast with Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville and Jill Scott and all them lad? He actually kind of went for Arteta, not going to lie. He said, you can't keep finishing second. Like, you can't keep building. How big is this house that you're building? He said, it must be a big house because you're building and not getting anywhere. But I think that comes because Thierry is a seasoned dubsman. Best player ever to grace the Premier League. He done invincibles. Like, he won Prems. He won FA Cup. He won World Cups. He won Champions Leagues. This guy is the epitome of top echelons of the game. I think if it's not Messi and Ronaldo, it's Thierry Henry for probably the best player of the 2000s onwards. IMO. So this guy understands winning.
Better than Dino.
Yeah, probably, in my opinion. Probably not, like... Yeah, I think, like, what he's achieved, and, like, as a player, I think he's third best player of the 2000s onwards. I know. Totally off topic. But, yeah, he knows about winning. Maybe more than Mikel Arteta. But does he know about building a squad, building a club?
Because he's been a shit manager.
Exactly. So, I mean, he's probably like, looking at it like an end product.
I think he's a little bit too close to it.
He is, because, obviously.
And
yeah,
he's obviously thinking a lot with his heart.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much with his head. Outside in, you haven't been that team for 20 years. Two decades.
Come on.
Man United are a much bigger club and haven't won the Premier League in...
About the same, yeah.
In a fucking long time either.
Yeah, yeah.
Football, this happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Man United have finished second. Mm. Man United should finish third. Not probably as consistently as Arsenal and that standard, but yes, it's happened. So it will come. It will come. But maybe when you least expect it.
Oh, God. When the podcast's over and I can't talk about it.
And let's fucking finish with a team who neither of us pretty much expected to happen.
No, we both had him third.
Left Anfield and he said, I'm taking a break from football, guys.
Biggest news of probably...
And he dropped that thinking it could revitalise his team the second half of last season. Didn't really do much.
No.
Then they brought in this bald Dutch man who had a pretty good season with Feyenoord.
Dutch side. We've seen that story before. Big English club appoints bald Dutchman.
However, this time it was a fairy tale.
Fairy tale, mate.
Arnie slotted right in and he got to work and he's taken Liverpool to a 20th First Division title. First one at Anfield for a long time with the fans there.
Come on.
And they were by far and away the best team this season. And for a lot of it, we never really thought they got really out of first or second gear.
Until maybe about February, I was like, oh no, they're going to drop off. I haven't been blown away by them at all any game. They're going to drop off.
But it
just
was
keep catching dubs and then it happens.
And, you know, a back line of Trent and Verge and Konate, Alisson behind them. I mean, Kelleher stepped up when he needed to. That midfielder, Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, McAllister.
McAllister, for me, probably Liverpool's player of the season. I know Salah does numbers and we can talk about him in a minute, but McAllister, I don't know, he just just does something in that midfield that I didn't know he had in him.
They were, I mean, that's why he starts for like Argentina as well. Come on. I mean, there is something very just natural football about him. Au natural.
Yeah, it gives me like prime pillow, prime.
He's like, you know when you play like...
Just does the game like at FIFA, his own pace.
And it had like the pentagram and it used to tell you like what you stat. He's got it like filled. He can do everything.
We'll talk about Salah then. Equaled the all-time record for goal involvement in a season. 47.
Nuts.
Nuts stuff. I think maybe up until like Feb, he was on pace to smash those records.
Yeah. But Liverpool like stumbled over the line, really, considering how far ahead they were.
He was on pace to do that Thierry Henry record where it's 20-20.
Yeah.
Didn't do that in the end. But what a season for Mo Salah. Signed a new deal, which we can talk about after. But yeah, what a season. What a player.
Yeah, I mean, they were worthy winners and he's led them to it. Obviously, season was sort of marred by the news of Trent.
Yeah.
Is it fair enough that they turned on him like they have?
No, absolutely not. He's one of your boys. Like Jurgen Klopp said, you've got probably one of your best ever managers coming out and saying the fans were a disgrace for booing him. He's a local lad that's won them everything.
We spoke about this
check out last episode.
But
give him a break.
I understand it because he came out and he said all this shit about how he wants to stay Liverpool forever and captain his club and take them to numerous trophies and stuff. And then he's left on a free. Whereas they could, if he just signed a contract, they get 100 mil for him. Or 80 mil minimum.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I think
it's a sticky one. I think he's left in the wrong way. But it's difficult to be angry at him because he's given everything.
He's given them everything. So and he's won them everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great season. Disappointing to go out of the Champions League the way they did after topping it. The group stage.
But again, like Aston Villa, are they going out to the team that might win it?
True.
So,
yeah.
Oh, no, great season for Liverpool.
And they got to a final of the League Cup.
Final
of the
League Cup.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, great stuff. Personally, mental decision, I don't know. I know because he's broken all the records and top goal scorer and player of the season. I don't know if they should have renewed Salah's contract.
You doubt him every year going to the
and
next.
Then he is a... But that... I know they stumbled at the end of the season. But I think in like the last 2.5 months or whatever, he's scored like twice.
Yeah, I mean...
I think he just...
He does this though, doesn't he?
He does.
But the problem is like...
This is like post-AFCON Salah.
It's the 8 months before where he fucking scores 30 goals.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
probably
the money.
None of your team got double digits.
Yeah, it's so true. Maybe I can't talk.
He done that 3 times over.
But get rid of him. Like, get Brian and Bomo or Bowen or someone else in, probably like a third of his wages. And then get in some... You could probably go get Isak. I don't know. I'm talking too much about Football Manager and FIFA. I don't know. I don't play either of those.
I've just heard a lot of people say that it's been a bad season. Boring season.
Oh,
the league was wrapped up by April. The relegation battle was pretty much done. We sort of knew he was going to get Champions League apart from the last space. But it's been a good season.
I've had a great time.
We fucking love it.
I've had some great days. I've had some bad days.
That's football for you. The highs and lows.
Yeah, another season done.
Another season done.
Another season of the Board Draw podcast done. We've got a couple of end of season videos coming out.
Yes, we do.
And then we're going to reevaluate what's going on with the channel because...
Changes in personal lives.
Changes in personal lives.
I mean...
Looking at bigger picture things.
Yeah, I think we can call it now. The Board Draw podcast is coming to an end. But the channel is not dead. Do not fear, for we will still be here.
Jeez.
We're going to transition away from doing our sort of weekly podcast. Maybe mainly due to personal life commitments.
Moving both, further away from each other.
We're both,
sad
both
times.
Busy people.
Yeah.
And we obviously want to bring you content, which, you know.
There might still be the occasional podcast. If something juicy happens and we'll want to talk about it, we've got the setup. We'll talk about it.
We are going to be moving more towards bigger picture stuff. Stuff that gets our creative juices flowing. We're both creative guys.
Exactly. Gets us out and about, seeing more football. That's why we love the FA Cup that we went to the other week. Gets us out and about, gets us enjoying football again.
And so you can join us on this journey where we learn to become better filmmakers, in a sense. Better content creators. And yeah, we felt like the podcast has got a little bit stale. And that we're not making the best of ourselves. So we're
we want to be inspired by the content we make. Exactly. And I think, yeah, maybe a change in situation will help that.
So do not fear. The channel is not dead. However, we're just repurposing it.
Come on.
But the content will still be great. Don't worry about it.
Come on. Stay locked in. Hope you're all good. Make sure you subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Tell us you love us.
Yeah. Don't worry. There'll be a couple more Border Pods before we do officially end it. But make sure you're here for all of them because they'll be bangers.
Come on.
In Border episode 133. And it's fucking live.